We're thankful to be in the presence of God this morning, yeah? Good morning, Freedom Church. All across this room, saints, Church of the Living God, let's just raise our hands and lift our voices to Him and welcome the Father in this place. Lord, we praise You and we thank You and we welcome You. Father, we trust You in every season and right now in this season, in this time in our nation and in this time in our community. Father, we trust You and we lean into what You have for us this morning. We lean into what You have to say to us, God. And more important than anything else, we just lean into You, our Father. We lean into You, Lord.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising.
Well, in me.
We trust you, Jesus. We trust you. You're here with us, and we're gathered here today to remember what you've completed for us. Father, we're here to declare and to remember that the cross is enough. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough. And his resurrection is more than enough. You're alive today, Jesus, and we are grateful. We are thankful.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of step down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Sing that again today.
Oh, then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. Thank you.
Impossible is reaching out to make me whole. before this service as well, that this isn't just a song. This is a declaration. This is a declaration for our church. This is a declaration for our city. This is a declaration for our nation. And this is a declaration for the world, that there is a God that we believe in who can do miracles and who can touch every single one of us. Because let me tell you, the world is lost right now. There is so much evil going on in this world. I just woke up last night in the middle of the night, and my heart was just so heavy with what is going on in our world right now. But let me tell you, God can still do a miracle. God can still make this and use this for His good. He's not done yet. He's just beginning to shift our world for the better, to come back to Him. And so we're going to sing this one more time, and I want you to just lift your hands and declare this over your life. Declare this over your children's lives. Declare this over our city, that we believe in a God who is going to do miracles, that we believe in a God who is not done yet. He is just beginning. So let's sing this one more time together, and let's just declare this.
God who was and is.
For your presence in this place this morning, God. We just thank you, God, for what you're about to do in this room, Jesus. God, we pray that you would ready our hearts, ready to receive whatever you have for us today, God, and that we wouldn't leave this room the same as we came in, God, that we would be transformed by you and your Holy Spirit, God, that you would do a work in each one of our lives, God. We are ready for you, Jesus. I pray that you would just give Pastor Larry the exact words to say that we need to hear, God, and that we would ready our ears to listen, God, and to receive what you have for us this morning. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Welcome, you guys. We're so glad that you guys have joined us this morning, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in person. You guys can be seated. We're just so excited to have you guys here. And now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Marco.
Wasn't worship awesome? If you appreciate this worship team, would you put your hands together for them? Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. You know, worship is not just all about lifting our hands in worship. It's also giving. And so if you have brought your tithes, your offerings, or your missions giving, you can slip them in the boxes at the back wall. You can slip them in there. Or as you exit the campus, there are black boxes at the exits, and you can just slip them right there as well.
You know, Pastor Marco, you know what's coming up.
What's coming up?
We've got small groups that are launching soon. Woo! I am super excited about this, you guys. But you know what? We're in need of some more small group leaders. So you might have seen that pretty green table as you walked in. If you sign up to, if you're interested in becoming a small group leader, you can sign up for a free lunch. I said it. I said free food. Amen. You guys should all just come for the free food. And you're not committing to anything at all. You're just saying, I'm interested in hearing more about our heart and vision for the small groups that we're launching in the fall. And we would love to have all of you guys come. So you can just sign up at that table in the back of the lobby, or you could sign up online.
Now let's go ahead and check the video announcements on the screen.
Pastor Perry Dismore dreamed up a great idea to raise money for BGMC this August. Several local churches, including Freedom Church, are raising money to purchase a tractor for the Smoky Mountain Dream Center. If we reach $5,000 by August 31st, Pastor Perry will dye his hair neon green. If we raise $10,000 by August 31st, he will shave his head. When Perry's wife, Nicole, found out about this great fundraising idea, she was not amused. The idea of a bald Pastor Perry was less than appealing, so she wants you to vote with your money. When you give, be sure to tell us to save it or shave it, and the side with the most money will get their wish. Vote with your check, cash, or debit card today. After months of distancing, it's time to get back together with the family of God. Although we are conscious about safety, we also need our brothers and sisters during this time of change. At the end of September, we will launch our fall small groups with many choices for growth and interaction among the body of Christ. We are looking for people to lead small groups. We want to provide online groups that meet for discussion, prayer, and fellowship. We also want to provide sermon study groups based on each Sunday's message and some brand new young adult groups for college age and young professionals. August 30th, we will have a small groups lunch for anyone interested in leading a group. We will outline what's happening and you can decide. Please go to the groups table in the lobby today to sign up for the lunch, or text sign up to 850-386-4924 to sign up for the lunch. It's time to get in a group.
This week, we had the privilege to bless the teachers at W.T. Moore and Bond Elementary Schools with breakfast and gift bags on their first day back at school. God bless you for your faithfulness in giving to the ministries of Freedom Church.
For me, it's been a great opportunity to get to know people. So like, I'm actually pretty introverted. And so, you know, diving into a large group of people is like weird, you know? It makes me think somebody's gonna try to jump me from behind or something. So being in somebody's home and them opening up their home to my life has been a great experience. The last two Thanksgivings, you know, our small group hosts have, you know, they always open up their home and they always provide food. And I know that's like a more work on their part, but they've done like a Friendsgiving, so we've done like a small group Thanksgiving meal, and it's been amazing. Like, and it's been cool because we've done it twice, and we do like a little dance thing like afterwards, and so like it's been really good for community, you know, and just having a, like, you sit down and you have this cool spread, and you're like, wow, like these people actually open their lives up to me, you know, and so I've had some conviction on my part, you know, where I wasn't opening as much of my life to them. And so that's kind of been a challenge to come to that point where now I can provide more in the small group of myself instead of trying to kind of hide a little bit.
Amen. I hope you'll take part in that and just give it a try. That's all we ask. Just try it. See if you like it. Hello. Now, I get to preach today. I hadn't preached in 10 weeks. Well, I did preach Wednesday night on the Prophets of Rebellion. And one of the things that's interesting about that is rebellion, basically rebelling against God's creation and God's created order. And what I realized is that racism comes out of a rebellion against God's creative order. Because we are all what? Brothers and sisters. We all have the same Father. And to rebel against that is a rebellion against God. So there's some other things. We'll be talking about that again Wednesday. Don't forget tomorrow night's prayer at 6:30. Listen, a lady in our church, Martha Hoover, just came up with this idea of little yard signs that says, truth. And if you're interested, we got a couple of those in the lobby. You can grab it on your way out and just put it up. She's visited a lot of churches. You'll see it around town. We're trying to make that happen all over the place. Isn't that cool? So grab you one. If you ran out, just sign your name on a list out there, and we'll make sure we get you one, okay? So we have a few. A couple of things. Listen, there. Every now and then you'll pick up a book that said, man, he nails it. And David had some people around him. They were called the sons of Issachar. And this is what they were known for. They understood the times in which they lived. And I think Christians don't do a good job of understanding the times we live in. We don't understand. We see this and that and that, and we just draw conclusions, and we're not really sure what's going on. But this guy, Os Guinness is his name, he's brilliant. I'm just telling you, he's brilliant. He teaches at Oxford. He's just a brilliant guy. And he goes through a lot of things. But the name of this book is The Last Call for Liberty. The Last Call for Liberty. And it is a great book. It'll help you understand what's going on in our culture. Now, what does that mean? That makes you a better prayer warrior. That makes you a better servant. That makes you understand what's going on in the culture we're living in, so you're not one manipulated by the culture. We are called to be salt. We're called to be light. And you can't do that unless you understand what you're going against. So I'd encourage you to do that. All right? All right. Praise God. We had a missionary in the house today. All the way from Peru. Brother Hendren, come on up here. God bless you. Would you welcome him? Hallelujah.
Bless you. Thank you, Brother Larry. My name is Caleb. This is my wife, Brittany, and my two daughters, Emma and Isabella. We are Assembly of God missionaries to the unreached people groups in the jungles of Peru. Thank you, Pastor Larry and Freedom Church, for allowing us to share our heart and the call of God's place on our lives to the unreached people groups of Peru. We just finished up 2 years in Peru, where we served as missionary associates, and it was great. We were able to do a ton of different things. I know you guys like junior Bible quiz. We got to do junior Bible quiz, senior Bible quiz. We got to start a children's and youth ministry there in about 11 churches there in the jungle. We also got to be a part of water purification systems and putting those in homes and in villages all across the Amazon jungle right there where we're at. We were able to do an array of things, but one thing that stuck out to us in particular was orality, which is a form of evangelism, discipleship, training, and it's literally taking stories from the Bible and portraying them like Jesus did in story form, and people able to memorize those stories, take them back to their communities, to other people who are illiterate, and tell the stories of Jesus. Because in Peru alone, there's over 83 unreached people groups, and that's over 5.5 million people who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And God has given Brittany and I a burden for those people. And, of course, we couldn't do it without churches and people like you who have a heart for missions, who want to pray and invest and go and do and see people reach for the gospel. A little bit about us. I was actually called to missions at 10 years old. My dad was called first, then my brother was called, then me, and then my mom, because my dad said, God, if you're going to call me, you got to call the whole family. And God did. And, of course, at 18, I thought my calling was fulfilled, and I thought I was off to live the American dream. I met Brittany in Ecuador one summer while I was visiting my parents. She was called to missions. She thought when she met and married a missionary kid, she was off to the field. I had different plans, but God had different plans. And, of course, in September 2015, God recalled me to missions, and that's where we've been serving in Peru for the last almost 3 years. And, of course, we can't wait to get back and see growth and reach people for God. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity, Sharon. Thank you, Pastor Larry.
God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you'll take a moment and talk to him in the foyer there about how God brought him back to the place of going to Peru. It's a cool little story, and I would encourage you to do that. If you want to help the Hendrons, you can just give a note in the box, Peru, or their lives, and talk to them at the table, and all that good stuff. So that's what we're doing. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Oh, this is what I wanted to do. Someone sent me a text this week. One of the struggles you have in ministry, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's just what happens. You probably have the same thing in your job and whatever. Just it's part of human nature, I think. But most so in the ministry, you always wonder if you're making a difference. Isn't that right, Perry? Marco? I don't know if you have that feeling yet or not. He's pretty young, but you just worry about if you're making a difference or not. And every now and then you get some feedback that kind of encourage your soul a little bit. And, you know, we've been doing 40 days of fasting, and that ends Friday. You've been fasting news. I know a lot of guys fasting sugar. Wow. They feel it. They're angry. They're the angry ones here. Just telling you. But this person sent me this text the other day. Listen, I wanted to tell you that I have not participated in the church fast. That is not how to encourage your pastor. Then the person goes on, but I have felt it. I'm not sure if people have been specifically praying for me, just prayed that the body would be set on fire, and I'm telling you, the Lord has given me fresh fire. I kept looking back, wishing I had what I used to. I have had a rough couple of years spiritually, but slowly he has been working on me and healing me so that I can come out of better for his kingdom. Less of me, more of him. My flesh fails, but I have renewed hope, a fire, a passion for his word. I just keep hearing him tell me, rise up, pray, war, intercede for the lost. Is that not good? Praise God. And just knowing that encouragement, and you know, it's not always easy to see that in the ministry. We do this by faith. And it's hard. I know Coach Stan has great influence over the basketball players, and it's neat to see him pour into their lives and their reciprocation of that. It's been very encouraging. And a few years ago, we had this lady in our church. Her and her husband were very faithful. They paid their tithe. Even when they moved, they kept sending their tithe here until they found a church. Unusual. And it was beautiful. And so about 6 months ago, she wrote me and said, hey, I need a couple books to read and so on and so forth. So I gave her a couple. And then she sent me this Friday. Hey, Pastor Larry, I can't exactly make this brief, but I will try to be concise as possible. You had recommended two books to me, The Forgotten God, about the Holy Spirit, by Francis Chan, and The Last Arrow, by Aaron McManus. The Last Arrow is about when you're coming to the place of maturity in your life and you're retiring, make sure you make your last arrow count. That's kind of the theme of that book. So that's a very brief summary. It's a great book. It's a great book, though. Before COVID, I had gone forward asking for prayer about the purpose for an old lady like me. I got offended by that. She's a few years older than me, but I got offended by that. Let's see, where was I? Oh, right around the time COVID hit, can't remember before this beginning, I got so hungry for God that it seemed unquenchable. I went forward for prayer about that. During COVID, I read these books and watched so many videos, live stream services, my church here in Jacksonville and Freedom Church and others. I kind of throw everything I could get in my hands against the wall to see what sticks. It was planned for the church to do a missionary trip to Ecuador. My first experience got canceled. From all of these past few months searching and seeking, I concluded I'm going to lose my last arrow. I have a college degree, and I've decided to seek ministry certification and have 3 classes to complete. The bigger thing is to share is I've decided to make my neighborhood my mission field. Man, I'm leaping when I'm reading this. You just don't know how happy. You just can't imagine what I'm feeling inside of me because someone's about to make a big impact in their community. My mission field. And I have asked a pastor of a church on the corner of my subdivision to partner with him to bring this community to his church. He has about 15 total members, and they're all black. LOL. Is that not cool? I've had some good talks with him, and he completely agrees with me that the membership should reflect the community. And there they go. Hallelujah. There they go. There they go. Are you ready? I think God is asking every one of us to get ready. Get ready. As you heard Joy said, our nation needs something, our city needs something, our church needs, but you know, something doesn't happen unless someone prepares. Get your heart ready for something supernatural to take place. I said in the early service, I said sometimes the most dangerous thing you can do is think that God's going to repeat what he did yesterday. I mean, listen to me, what God's about to do, you haven't seen yet. You haven't imagined what he's about to do, and you need to get ready for that, because I believe with all my heart he's about to take the church outside the church. I was talking to someone this morning, and I said, you know, that lady right there, she got baptized in her house with the Holy Spirit about 4 months ago. And I said, you know, I had lunch with this guy the other day. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit in a hotel room with his best friend praying over him. Do you hear what I just said about taking the church outside the walls? Some of us have locked the activity of God right here. And let me tell you something. God is with you. And he wants to do something you haven't seen yet. A pastor friend of mine broke down in Tallahassee. I took him. We rescued him off the street, and we went to dinner, and he was telling me about this old man in his church. He sits there like this during church worship. He loves my preaching, but he hates the worship. And I thought, what a sad thing we've come to. You've forgotten your love. Your love ain't the music. Your love ain't the drums. Your love ain't the guitar. It ain't who's leading worship. It's who you're worshiping. And if somehow the music changes and you can't lift your hands and sing praise to him who hath redeemed you, you have missed something. You've made it about your preferences and your ideology and your style and you. As the lady said in her text to me, I must decrease and he must increase. Everybody has to die a little if you're going to live for Jesus. Amen? Well, I want to talk to you today. We're jumping back in Mark chapter 8, about the feeding of the 4,000. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you today, Lord, that we get to sit in communion at the end of your word. And God, I just ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to proclaim your truth. I ask you, oh God, to open our hearts to what you want to do in our day. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't bring us to this season to sit on the sidelines. You're calling us. You're opening doors. Help us to walk through those doors. Empower us through your word today, Lord. Touch our heart, our life. Help us to hear it, to be it, to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 1, is the feeding of the 4,000. In those days, the crowds being very great with nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples to him and said unto them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Man, some of you are already thinking about lunch. Been with you 3 days. Well, Pastor Larry, you ain't Jesus. Yeah. You know, I've read some articles where a church showed up on a Sunday and they didn't get out till 9 o'clock that night. Because the Holy Spirit showed up. They've been with him 3 days without any food. 3 days without any food. Verse 3, if I send them away fasting into their own homes, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come afar. His disciples answered, Where can one get bread to feed these men here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves and giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to serve. And they served the crowd. And they had a few small fish. Don't miss that. It's kind of like the side note. And they had a few small fish. And blessing them, it's kind of like they do the bread and then now, oh, we found some fish, Jesus. And he blessed them, and he commanded them to serve them also. So they ate and were filled. And they collected 7 baskets of broken pieces that were left. There were all about 4,000 who had eaten, and he sent them away. You see, in the scholarly world, they want to combine these miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. Says just one event. They just told it in different and replicated it just to make it fit the story. Well, the fact of the matter, even if he just did it once, he did a miracle. But the truth of the matter is, and I believe, and the scripture indicates that he did it twice. He fed the 5,000, then he fed the 4,000. Matter of fact, Jesus would remind his disciples of the 2 feedings himself in Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Do you not remember when I broke 5 loaves and for the 5,000, and how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you collect? And they said unto him, 12. And the 7 among the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you collect? They said, 7. So Jesus himself confirms there's 2 feedings. You can trust the word of God. Listen, when God says something, you can trust. The more theological hoops you got to jump through to get to a position that makes it think that this is what it says, you're in trouble. The Bible's pretty plain. When God says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And why does God say no? He says it for your blessing. He says it that if you break these things, you will destroy the created order. And the scripture makes it very clear that if you break God's order, if you break God's law, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Here's the other thing that's very important for you to understand. In the first feeding, the 5,000, he's feeding the Jews. It's the Jews. And in the second feeding, it's the 4,000, and he's in a region where there's a lot of Gentile people. I think that's why the disciples are saying, hey, just send them home. Just send them home. Where are we going to get all the food? Because you know, the Jewish people had a little problem with other ethnic groups. I mean, when Jesus goes to the woman at the well, those people, you're going there? How could you do that? Go there, Jesus. But Jesus makes it very clear, and I love this statement of Jesus. I must needs to go through Samaria. I gotta go. Why? There's a woman there who needs something supernatural in her life. When the Jewish community had little empathy for those people at all. Here Jesus is teaching them for a large crowd gathered. And this is what he said in verse 2, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting, to their own homes, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come afar. Aren't you glad God has compassion? I mean, he has compassion for you when you don't even know you need the compassion of God. I mean, that's the compassion of God is amazing. And if there's one thing we need in our society right now, is a little compassion. I don't know about you, but I found myself a little short on some compassion lately. And I've had to ask God, Lord, help me to be compassionate. You know what I'm talking about. There are people who post things on Facebook about Trump, and they're just, and then there are some people who post things about Biden on, and you think, where did they get that? I mean, it's just like, have they lost their minds? It's hard to have compassion. I don't know about you, but when I see the destruction in Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis, I don't know. It's just hard for me to have compassion. I need a little compassion for the lost people in the midst of the tyranny of where we live. I said, Pastor Larry, I don't have that problem. Then I would suggest you're probably not breathing. Because I don't know about you. I don't know who could not be frustrated, no matter what political persuasion you are. That means this. You better learn to rely on God. To be compassionate means to be tender. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I don't know about you, but when I read that list right there, I say the world needs more of that. Where are they going to get it from? You? Give me some, Lord. I'll take some, Lord. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If as only you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's kind of like, I know a pastor who says this one thing. He says, love one another. And that puts it all together. It frames the whole thing. If you want to walk in compassion, if you want to walk in patience, get a little love. And the only way I know you can possess the love of God in this age is through the power of the Holy Spirit. To submit yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get it any other way. We need it now more than ever. God, help us. Help us. Here's what I also know. Notice what he says. Forgive as you have been forgiven. People who struggle with forgiving others especially believers, believers who struggle forgiving others don't really understand the depth by which they've been forgiven. Because once you understand that he died for you, that the depth of your sin put the nails in his hands, when you understand the price that was paid for you to be saved, when you understand the depth of his forgiveness toward you, you won't have any trouble forgiving anybody. Forgiving anybody. Here's the other thing that I want to notice. God had compassion on them. And this is what I know. Because if I send them away hungry, they're going to faint on the journey. That means this. God cares more than just for the moment. God cares more than just the moment. Matter of fact, it's a terrible thing. If I send them away on this, it's going to be hard. They're going to faint. I can't do nothing now because they won't make it through. How many of you know God wants to take you through somewhere? It's not about the blessing of now. The blessing of now is to take you, possess you, take you somewhere in God's plan and purpose for your life. One of the saddest things in Scripture to me is King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. God had graciously spared his life and the miracles had happened, and he wanted peace for his day, so he let the king of Babylon come in, see all the temple treasures, see all the palace treasures, and then the prophet comes in behind him and says, because you've disobeyed God and you've let the Babylonian king see the treasures, you can rest assured that your treasures are going to be in Babylon in a few years. And this is what I call the Hezekiah syndrome that captivates most of our leaders of the day, political leaders. And Hezekiah says this, as long as it's peaceful in my day, as long as I have peace in this moment. You hear what he's saying? I don't care about my children. I don't care about my grandchildren. I don't care about the future. I don't care about... How many of you know that is not God and godly? Godly character cares about the future. And that means this, that the blessings of God on your life are not just for the moment. They're for what God wants to do through you for tomorrow. That's why it's important that you keep a fresh touch of God on your life, so that you'll have something to offer the person that you run in contact with. Yeah. You see, the purpose of this feeding is to provide. Meet the physical needs of the people who chose to neglect the physical food to listen to Jesus, to sit at Jesus' feet. They had chosen to be nourished by the teaching of Jesus rather than food. In Mark chapter 6, in the first miracle, his compassion was on sheep without a shepherd. And here it is for the journey. Can I tell you? We need compassion for both. We need his compassion. God cares for more than just the moment. Well, the disciples have an objection. And this is what he said. But where are we going to get so much food in such a remote place? You know, when Jesus asks you a question, he has an intent. You know, you kind of almost want to ask, where's your faith? Have you forgotten already the 4,000? That question will come later in verse 18. This is what the disciples knew. And this is what you should know. Number one is this. We are inadequate for the situation that stands before us. I don't know about you, but some days I don't know how to pray for our nation. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. We are inadequate for the situation that besets us. Just like the disciples on this day, they were inadequate. They did not have the means within themselves to accomplish what God was asking. And they needed divine provision. They needed divine intervention. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. They were powerless to do anything. And Jesus asked, how many loaves do you have? Seven? Someone had already counted. Seven? Seven? Let me ask you this question. What do you have in your life that God could use to show compassion to somebody else? What do you have in your life that God could use to show compassion to somebody else? Because in the natural, what are seven loaves? I don't know about you, if you ever looked what you got in your hand, you might say, well, I don't, there's nothing here that I can. It's kind of like seven loaves in the midst of. There's something happens when you give what you have to God. There's something happens. See, this crowd was mixed with Gentiles, and this is the first feeding of Gentiles. I think Jesus is preparing his disciples that the church, his work, is going beyond the Jewish community into a Gentile world. And the church, you and I, who are Gentiles, are being brought in. Because why? Jesus had a plan, a vision, a purpose beyond what people of the day could see. Thank you, Jesus. And here's what also I know. Most of the provisions that have come into my life have come through the hands of other people who have been broken and restored, who have been transformed by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's provision comes through the hands of others who are willing just to surrender it to God and allow him to use it as he sees fit. Hard for God to bless the stingy. And they had a few fish. Jesus gave thanks and the disciples distributed. They served. And the scripture says the people were satisfied. See, the end day, if I give you something, it might do for a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, if God gives you something, you're going to know it, and you're going to be satisfied. If you're looking for somebody else to give you something, and they get that ability, you're going to be dissatisfied. And the disciples took care of the leftovers. They gathered basketfuls of broken pieces. What does that mean? God wastes nothing. 4,000 were present, and he sent them away. God is in the business of sending people out. After the blessing, he sends them out. He sends you into a world that is broken and in need of compassion. Learn to receive the compassion of God, and you will have something that God can use to display to the world the compassion of God in your life. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says this, the scripture says this, and when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send out laborers into his field. The harvest. The harvest. Yesterday, I was on my front porch doing a nasty job. It's one of those jobs that I have to do about every 9 months. And I hate it. I got dust all over me and sawdust and all this stuff. It's just nasty. And about almost done, I was tired and I just put some worship music on this big old speaker I got. Well, it's really little, but it has a big sound. I turned up the worship real loud. The deer, I woke them up. here I'm doing this nasty job. I got dirt everywhere. It's getting in my eyes, my ears, my eye. It's nasty. I don't even know what the song was. But right there in the midst of all that nasty, the Holy Spirit interrupted my attitude. And me and the Holy Spirit had a wonderful moment for about 15, 20 minutes right there on my front porch. And I know this without a shadow of a doubt, that God is about to do something supernatural. We're going to take communion. Jesus didn't have much in his hand at that Last Supper. Bread, a cup, and a borrowed room. Think about that for a moment. Bread, cup, and a borrowed room. A few disciples gathered there, and the one who would betray him. Not everybody in the house was on his side. It never stopped Jesus from doing and going where he needed to be. This bread represents his body. The new manna from heaven. Here's one thing about manna in the Old Testament. It had to be gathered every day. And if you are not gathering up with Jesus every day, I encourage you to do that. I'm going to encourage you to do that because listen to me. He is God's source. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know what it is to be saved, I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about something transformative in your heart and life. I don't know, but I've heard a lot of testimonies about, you know, Jesus was 13 inches away. He was all in my head, but I never had him in my heart. I had all the precepts of what the scripture said right here in my head, but I never had a moment when I laid it all out before him and let him transform my heart. You've never done that. You ought to. You need to. Bread. His body. Lord, I thank you for this body broken. I thank you, Lord God, for you, Jesus, the new manna from heaven that made a promise that he would never leave us nor forsake us. God, if there's anybody in this room that needs a heart transformation, I pray the power of the sacrifice of Christ begin to work in their lives. God, you and I, your word declares that it's not enough to have it in your head. It's got to be transformed. God bless this bread today. May we be reminded of the sacrifice you made for each and every one of us, the cost of forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your body given. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we partake together? The cup represents his blood that was offered for your sin, my sin. In these two elements, we are reminded of the price of forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness, the future being forgiven, my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. It's a joy to serve the Lord here now, but it's also going to be a joy all of eternity. All of eternity. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your blood poured out. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Lord, you are that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. For that, we are grateful of this cup that represents your gift of forgiveness and life through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we partake the cup together? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me and just worship him for a moment? Would you just worship the Lord right now?